A new birth is a must. And we're talking about last week. We're going to go on this week on teaching on the new birth is a must. Last week we looked at the fact of is the church world. We talked about, I used 2 Corinthians 4 chapter. And in verse 3 and 4, it says this, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." We talked about our spiritual authority. We as a church need to know and understand. We have been given the authority in the earth over Satan. God will do nothing about Satan in this earth. God has already done all he's going to do about Satan. Now, when Jesus, after the church is taken, when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, he's going to at that time take Satan and bind him for 1,000 years. But you understand, while the church is in the earth, the church is in charge. We read last week the scriptures where two times the Lord did, in Matthew spoke, and he said, "Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven." We are the ones with the authority over the devil. People who are lost are blinded. And the reason they're blinded is because the devil, their spiritual father, just like you had him as your spiritual father before you got born again, you were blinded because he blinds men. Now, you know, one of the things is Kenneth Hagin, and his book is this on the believer's authority. He tells in there what happened was a revelation that Jesus gave him. He got caught up to heaven. And when he got caught up to heaven, the Lord Jesus was talking to him and standing and talking to him. And while he was talking to him, this little demon got between him and Jesus, and he started making all this noise, going yakety 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 real loud. And he couldn't hear Jesus anymore. And all of a sudden he said it was like this ink cloud came. And this cloud, he said, it blocked him. He couldn't see what Jesus. He couldn't even see him or hear him. And he said he kept thinking, "Don't Jesus know that I can't hear him? Don't Jesus know that I don't know? I need to hear what he's saying. Jesus is talking to me. I need to know." But nothing changed. It just kept going on and on. And finally he said, "In the name of Jesus, stop it." And he said immediately that little demon quit. And he said the cloud went away. And he said the little thing hit the ground and whimpered off. Now, He said something to Jesus, but Jesus said to this, he said to him, he said, "If you hadn't done that, I couldn't have." And he said, "Well, man, I'm not hearing right." He said, "Lord Jesus," he said, "you didn't say you couldn't, you said you wouldn't." Jesus said, "No, I didn't." And then he said, now hold it, I can't be hearing you right. "You didn't say you couldn't, you said you wouldn't." Jesus said, "No, I said I couldn't." He said, and the third time he did that, and then Jesus got mad at him. And Jesus said, "I couldn't." Why? Because the authority to deal with the devil in the earth for man is in man's hands. It's not in God's. You see, we have all this stuff that's teaching God's in control stuff. That comes from Calvinism, and a majority of the church is Calvinistic. They believe in what will be, and God's in control and that stuff. And God isn't. God has given man authority, just like with Adam. When Adam sinned in the garden, God didn't step in and stop him from giving that authority and letting Satan become the god of this world. Do you know that the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, he says, he said Adam was the god of this world till he sold out to Satan. And then Satan became the god of this world system. This world system was ruled by man, and man gave it up through sin. And Satan took over. Jesus came back, and Jesus did what he did to bring the authority back to man. It didn't go to God. It didn't belong to God. The authority in the earth belonged to man. Now, I'm going to tell you what, they want to run me out of town for talking like this. Preachers hate to hear this stuff because they've done pushed it and pushed it. Oh, God's in control and God's right. Well, if he's in control, he has sure made a mess. Amen. For somebody in control. I know that man's been in control because I just look around. Dear God, I want to. Nobody can do this so bad as man. Man's made a mess. If you want to look at the people that made the mess, get yourself a mirror and look in it. You can look at who made this thing a mess. But see, there won't be any change. See, if you think about it, what is salvation about? God came to save man, and man must come to the place of knowing the mess that he is to be born again. But see, we don't like that. We preach a different gospel. Today, the gospel is you're sweet and nice, and Jesus came so you could just have a better life, and it'd be really nice for you in it. We don't preach the gospel that tells you that you're a mess. You and I were a mess. I was a mess. I was my enemy number one. You were your enemy number one. But I'm going to tell you, if you listen to the gospel today that's preached, you'll still be your own enemy number one. You believe the nonsense that they're preaching to you. See, when I found out that I was the mess, that God was good and God wanted to help me and He wanted to change my life, so I wasn't the mess. It's like, I remember the first time I heard Kenneth Hagin say it, I thought it was a, man, I just baby Christian. And he said, if your life's a mess, he said, don't blame anybody else. You're the one that did it. You're the one that has say over your life. If you don't like the way things are going, you're the problem, not even the devil. You don't cooperate with him, he can't do it. You're born again, you got authority over it. You see, we don't like to take that. We want authority as long as God will just use it and don't get us involved. With authority goes responsibility. And you know what? I love the responsibility. Amen. But I'll tell you, I'm a freak. Because most people hate responsibility. People love a Christianity that God's in control. They love it. I'm not responsible. If things go wrong, I'm not responsible. It ain't my fault. The problems in America, I'm a nice person. I'm really nice. And they're all bad out there. I'm not responsible. God holds the church responsible. See, it don't matter if you take the responsibility. You're going to, and I are going to face Jesus one day. And I'll guarantee you, He'll tell you about your responsibility that you shirked. He tells me about it on this side. Because I want to hear it. I ask Him about it. Many people, see, a lot of people don't pray that way. They're always praying they want to get something changed. And I always know this. I need to change. If there's something wrong, I need to change. God ain't a mess up. God's not a mess up. So if something ain't going right, Lord, what about what's wrong here? What do I need to fix? So don't throw your toolbox out. You'll need to keep it. You'll be working on you a lot. Hallelujah! There's nothing wrong with it because everybody needs to grow up. You know, I heard Kenneth Hagin made this statement. He said, and I've used it before, but he said, you know, he said the more I learn, he said all the time, he said the more I learn. He said, I realized how little I know. And that's what happens. You can't touch the mind of God and touch into God's wisdom without realizing how insignificant, really, in a sense, you are. How finite you are. How genius He is. You stop, you look and say, man, I thought I was pretty wise, and boy, I can see, they got it at all, man. He's the know-it-all. And He put the know-it-all Holy Ghost in you. Isn't that's amazing. My God. I just can't believe He did that for us. You know, that really does. To this day, that still blows my mind. What on earth would God want to move into Ed for? I mean, if we were to sit down and talk this thing out, that would have been the last thing I'd have ever thought God wanted to move into Ed. I thought, I don't even like living with Him very much. What on earth is He going to want to move into me for? Say, I don't know, but I found this out. I don't care. He's moved in. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to. All I got to do is, if I cooperate with it, it'll bless me. That's all we got. Just cooperate with it, and it'll bless you. Because I'll tell you what, it's absolutely insane. The people that have rebelled against God, the people that God made that turned against Him, and He chases them down and redeems them and moves in with them. That's the love of God. And just let me say this. He wants the church to start doing that. Chasing the ones down that don't seem they deserve it or need it at all or want it at all. God wants to move in. We got to start loving the unlovely. God wants to reach these people. Number one, we need to know their condition. We need to take our position of authority and use that to help them, not to just bind them. We need to step in the name of Jesus Christ and take authority over these demon powers that operate over these people that blind them from the truth. There's one thing as I found out this, I've watched this in life and I learned it from myself. And I've watched it in other people. Do you know the people that think they're pretty good that aren't saved are the hardest to reach? The people I found just like myself. I was when a guy I worked with at Reese's. He walked up to a Christian. He walked up and said to me, he said, "You're the last guy in this place I'd ever thought good saved." Why? Because see, he thought you had to come to some kind of goodness to hear God. But he didn't realize. See, I knew I had no goodness of myself. I wasn't self-righteous. Most people are. I knew I was a heathen. I knew it. In fact, I rejoiced in it. I rejoiced in how I made life miserable for other people. In my heathenism. I loved making Christians uncomfortable. And they were easy to do. You could make a Christian uncomfortable that quick. Oh, he said a dirty word and I had to hear him say something. Oh, how terrible that was. Oh, shut up. I got to work around these people and they swear. How many times I've heard Christians say that and I'm never kind to them when I hear it. Don't come and say that to me. We're in the world, folks. If the world starts praising Jesus, I'm going to know the church is on its way to hell. Folks, it hadn't turned around. They're acting like hell. You know why? Because they're hell's kids. And they act like hell's kids. And you know what? We're not supposed to make the scene pleasant, but we are supposed to be pleasant and nicely tell them that they're on their way to hell. That they're doing those things. But I ain't out trying to throw them into hell. I want them saved. Because Jesus wants them saved. Jesus wants them saved. God ain't nervous. I had a filthy mouth, and I would just, no matter what I did, I mean, but you know what? God so loved Ed Gibson. Somebody must have bound the devil over me. And I started hearing the Holy Ghost talk to me. God began to draw me. We're going to talk about that. God began to draw me. Some Christian didn't act like a heathen and a self-righteous idiot and say, like one guy told me, well, he said that I'm the last guy, he thought he'd get saved. And I said to him, know this, you were never praying for me. Well, he wasn't. If he thought I wasn't going to get saved, you think he'd have wasted his time praying for me? No, see, his God was so little that Ed was unreachable. Ed was unreachable. Somebody didn't think Ed was unreachable. Somebody. I can't wait to meet that person in heaven. Because somebody knew what to do spiritually. You know what? My mama prayed for me, I know. But you know what? A lot of things I know my mama prayed was unscriptural. Because she was just in her religion and their religious ideas about things. But you know, somebody knew how to get a hold of God and knew how to believe God. And God jumped into my life and got in the middle of it. I mean, that's just downright exciting. I can't wait to get ahead and meet the person. I just can't wait to meet whoever it was. The Lord's never told me whoever it was. Now, my mama loved me and everything, but there's a lot they didn't know spiritually about what to do. I'm not talking bad about my mom. They didn't know. But somebody knew. Somebody pushed the right buttons. Somebody knew what chain to pull. Somebody wasn't just trying to do something. Somebody knew what to do and got God in the middle of my life. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. And we want to talk about it because we want to use our authority. Number one, we have to bind the devil over people. But you know, the scripture says in John 6:44 says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now I want you to think about it. Here's a statement made. A person really cannot come to the Father, or a person can't get born again. They can't get into the kingdom of God unless the Father draws them. That's what the scripture says. Now, if you take a scripture to itself, you can do what they did with Calvinism. See, Calvinism was the belief, you know, God's in control. This is Calvinism. God's in control, and because God's in control, then God picks who gets saved and who don't get saved, and they use these scriptures. You see, if God draws some people and he don't draw some people. That's what they say. Well, if that would be true, we're in a, what's all this bit? Why did the Apostle Paul write to us about praying? Why did he tell us to pray for our leaders? Why tell us to do all that? Hold it. If everything just sort of picked and switched. But it's amazing how much that is kind of stuff is believed. I've heard spirit-filled people talk like that. Well, you know, God draws some and some he don't draw. Well, that there's true, and I can tell you why. It's the heathen church. It is the heathen church is why this exists. Now, Jesus made this statement and said this. Jesus said to him, it says in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So God's laying out a path here. Number one, man must be drawn by God, but who is God going to draw a person to? Jesus. Jesus said he's the only way. Yet today, 40% of people who in churches, they say they're Christian born again, 40% believe that the people get to heaven another way. 40%. 40% believe Jesus Christ is a liar. Do you think they're going to be in heaven? I doubt it. Jesus ain't a liar. Bible says let God be true and every man a liar, you know. I joined that club, the liar club. But Jesus never did. What Jesus said is true. So we need to understand the statements made. God must draw an individual. So God's involved in this. God has to draw somebody. And you need to understand this when you, because of praying for people. Sometimes people are praying for people and God's not drawing the individual. And they wonder, well, what's going on? And people pray. Is number one, we need to know our responsibility of what our authority is. What are we supposed to do? Most Christians don't know. Many times, one of the things that like they told us at Reese's, just being in the ministry, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, people have a call, but it says many are called, few are chosen. Well, we need to understand there's a difference. The Apostle Paul said, God found me faithful and put me into the ministry. You don't go on a call, you wait till you're sent. I don't care if you have a call. You wait till God sends you to do whatever it is you're called for. Do you know the Apostle Paul? If you go read the book Acts, you find out when there was prophets and teachers got together in Antioch and they were praying and the Lord said, separate Barnabas and Saul to the ministry I called them to. Up till that time, Paul had never entered the ministry God called him to until that day. See, no matter what you're called to, he fell on the road to Damascus and knew he had a call, but he didn't get a cent till years later. Why? Proved himself faithful. And got to step into the ministry. Most people live and die and never enter the ministry God called them to. You know why? Because most people don't like the proving yourself faithful time. That's not always the most popular. See, the Lord came to the day with me. And I got born again in 1980. And in 1989, he spoke to me in May of 1989 and said, he said, you've been faithful with other people's ministries. Now I'm going to put you into your own. I'm going to set you into what I called you to. So 10 years went by. I knew the night I was born again, I was called to ministry. I knew I was called to a full-time ministry. I was going to be in a full-time ministry. I knew that. But I didn't get into it. I didn't start there. See, I had to prove myself. And what did he do when he spoke to me? you're faithful, now I can put you into what I wanted you to do. I can do it. There is never nothing, there's nothing wrong with you because, you know, some people that, you know, they want to get out here and jump into something right away. It ain't jumping into something. You just prove yourself faithful. Do whatever God's called you to do. I don't care if it's how menial it seems. I worked many jobs, did many different things. It didn't matter. I knew this all the time. I was in the will of God. I don't have to prove something to anybody else of what God has or what God does. God will prove it out in me. Amen. That's what's important. Now, listen, in 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, or what he said, okay? So as promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us. In other words, see, some people, this is about the promise. See, some people, if God promised, you got to get it done right away. He said, no. He said, God, he tells us concerning life, he said he's long-suffering what toward us? Why? That he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know this. If God said that man, that he must draw men to Jesus, that he must do that. But here he says, we find this out. What is, he is willing to draw every man. He's willing to draw everyone. There's no one. He is willing to draw everybody. That's his will. Why, if God is just going to do it without us, why would he tell us that he's willing? Don't tell me the will, just go do it. I don't need to know it. But why is he telling us? Because we need to do something about it. Listen in 1 Timothy, and we do this concerning praying, but people overlook this, praying for government leaders. But in 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says this, therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. Now we see, we throw that and we get over to verse 2 and this becomes our big challenge. For kings and for all who are in authority. See, we get over and oh, they emphasize praying for leaders, praying for leaders, praying for leaders. He said for all men. He mentioned all men before he mentioned kings and those in authority. Didn't he? How come we only listen to verse 2? That's the norm in the church. Somebody got a revelation on that and they threw the rest of the verses out. Okay. What, for this purpose, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Now listen to what he goes on here, godliness reverence. He says, for this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. He didn't say just kings and men in authority, did he? That all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So it's the will of God for everybody to be saved. But we find here, we're supposed to be praying for all men. In other words, what are we doing? What are we supposed to be praying? We're supposed to be praying for God to draw men. Understand, in the earth, we're the one that has the authority. The binding of God's going to do what we ask. We need to get this across to Christians. Get this out of Christians' mind. Well, God's just going to do it. He said. No, he's not. Do you notice he had prayer here and he talks about his willingness to bring people into the truth, that everybody gets saved. This is what he wants. Now God draws people, so what? We should be praying for people to be drawn. We need to ask God to draw people. When you pray for a person, you need to take authority over the devil over them and then pray that God would begin to draw that individual. God ain't going to just up and draw individuals. You're going to have to ask. We have the authority in the earth. What we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose will be loosed. God ain't just going to do it. Now, God has to do the drawing. You can't. But we must do the asking on this side. In the earth, we have the authority. If God can do what he wants, when's he going to get here and start doing it? What's this lazy bum band doing? You know, the God that most people serve, I wouldn't serve him for 2 seconds. He's a slouch. He don't do nothing. He talks all this good talk and don't do a thing. He's not like that. It's never been his fault or his problem. You know, I look at my words and stuff that I put me through. He didn't put me through. I put me through. Sometimes I did worse on me than the devil did. By being stupid. Hallelujah. But it's one thing, God. And I was always so glad when I got that little book of Kenneth Hagin's, Don't Blame God. That book revolutionized my Christian walk. Just realized, if it ain't going right, it's Ed and the devil. It ain't Ed and God. It ain't God and the devil. It's Ed. Why? God is always looking out for my best interest. Always. No, you can't convince me any different. You will never, you know, you waste your time trying to tell me something else. God is always after my best interest. Always. And if my best interest don't get taken care of, it's never God's fault. Never. It's always mine. And somehow I'm buddying up with the devil. I'm letting stealing, killing, destroying going on. How do I stop that? Sometimes it's just lack of knowledge. You got to find out, get lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's disobedience. Knowing what to do and not doing it. Now, I'm the only one that's ever done that. The rest of you are just all innocent. I can see that on your faces. I can see those little sprouts of wings coming out. No, that's your shoulder blades. Okay, I missed that one. You guys, look. It's when you come to that place. This isn't downgrading yourself. This is the way to fix. When you understand that, you need to understand. You need to be quick to know yourself. Every time a problem comes, people usually jump. The first thing they do is jump over, where's God at? What did he do? God, why this? God, why that? Fight over time. Very seldom. And I'll tell you, you can be honest. Most all the time, when this problem or anything comes up, I ask the Lord, Lord, have I missed it somewhere? What's going on? What have I done? I want to know. God don't miss it. He's perfect. Last time I checked, Ed wasn't yet. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'm moving into perfection because I'm at the place knowing I have enough sense. I've risen to the place enough sense to know that I have fault. Nobody's moving toward perfection at all when they blame other things than themselves. They ain't even close to perfection. They ain't even heading the right direction for it. I know this. I need change. And I need to change. Now, most of the time we look at other people and see, well, you sure know how what they need to change. Isn't that amazing? And we don't see ourselves. You need to see yourself. Hallelujah. This isn't something bad on yourself. It leads you from glory to glory. That's what it does. When you find out what's wrong with you, hallelujah. And don't get all wimpy about it. Oh boy, I just keep messing up. Get over it. Quit your whining and get up. I'm going through those things feeling sorry for me. And you know what it does for me? It sets me back long periods of time. It does nothing but set me back when I get into the whining feeling sorry for Ed. And I let the devil carry me to that place. Because when I start singing that song, I can definitely get a chorus going. There'll be other voices start to sing that tune. And what's bad about it, you can get a whole choir of Christians to sing it with you. Well, God had a reason for doing it. You know, I've had people tell me, well, God had a reason. And all it does is make me mad. Or was he against me? What on earth are you guys doing? It's like, don't come with that stupid stuff. I might slap you with a stick. I got enough trouble without an idiot talking to me. I need help. You know, don't pet a powder. Kick them in the shins. Let them hop around the wild yelling. Let them get their mind on mad at you instead of God. But don't get mad at God. Always remember, God's on your side. Always, 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 always. Always on your side. You always want to keep that. You always want to stay in that place. I don't care how bad you missed it. God's still on your side. He ain't quit on me in over 40 years. And I quit on me numbers of times in 40 years. But he never did. Never quit on me. Hallelujah. He's good. Amen. He's good. But God wants people saved. His interest is in the salvation of men. He looks out here. He's looking at in here in the United States. You know what needs done in America? Salvation. And the church isn't preaching this. Church is preaching this greasy grace stuff that's awful. That leaves men in the same condition they were in. Oh, it just turned, and I hear these ministers say, well, people are generally good. Oh, America ain't a situation because people been generally good. Dear God, we're messed up because people are generally evil like their daddy the devil. America is filled with the devil's kids, and a minority of people are God's kids. And the church has convinced loads of the devil's kids that they belong to God. And now we got to try to reach them. While they sit in churches with these knuckleheads. They're more interested in crowds and salvation. They use the world's methods trying to reach people. You can't reach people and bring people to salvation through the world's methods. Well, I'll tell you, let's play secular music. We'll just do some secular music. Now, I remember back in the 80s when I was good, they started doing that back in the 80s. Christian rock and roll people started using secular music and mixing it with other music. They called Christian music. I'm going to tell you, it was all dirty. Once you start messing that stuff up and mixing it up, it just ends up in dirt and all of it. And they started doing that stuff and they started mixing it. And that's where the dream that I had back in the 80s when the Lord showed me how devil was doing that. And he showed me in a dream. I saw an angel that looked like an angel of light, but I knew it wasn't. And everybody was crowding to it. Everybody was crowding to it. But when I got up to it and I looked into its face, I could see it was demonic. But people just followed after it. It looked good. Today we have the perfected look good church. It's the perfected look good church. It's all about looking good. It's about looking prosperous, looking this, and look, it's all about looking. But no spirituality, there's no depth to it. Everybody can join the club, because it is a club. It's become a club. And see, you can't, we're talking about a family it requires birth to get into. And that birth will change people's lives. Boy, that, desperately do we need births. Desperately. And we're going to go there with the gospel. We need to know our part, what we're supposed to do. The next thing I want you to see is this, because we're dealing with three major things here. First of all, the church taking its authority over Satan, over the people that are lost. You know, when you're praying specifically for individuals, name their name and take authority over Satan over that person's life in the name of Jesus and bind him from keeping them from hearing the truth. And then that individual, ask God specifically, speak God to begin to draw that individual. We want God to start to draw that individual. He'll start. But here's another important thing that we need to do. Jesus tells it in Matthew 9 chapter and verse, I'm going to read verse 37. Starting there, and it says, and he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Then he said, therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Now, listen to this. What did he say? He said, what you're supposed to do. Now, Jesus, understand this. Here he's talking to all of his disciples, but we find out if we jump over to chapter 10 and verse 1 says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits and cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. In other words, he sent the 12 out. But he said this, pray that God will send laborers. So here it tells us something we're supposed to pray concerning harvest. It is not enough. Let me just put it this way. You cannot pray people into the kingdom. You can't do that. People can't be just prayed into the kingdom. See, that's what most Christians want to do. Well, we're praying for them. Well, praying for them what? See, you can ask God to draw an individual, and if there's no labor sent to them, nobody sent out to preach to them, they will not come to Christ. You come to Christ through the preaching of the Word, not through prayer. Men get saved by believing words preached. That's how they get saved. They get saved through the preaching of the word. They come to the place of faith. Faith in the word of God. So he said, pray for them. Pray and ask the Father, Father, let's send, God, you send laborers out. And so Jesus told them to go out. Now if you look, he sent these people out. If you go over and read these things, you'll find out Jesus sent them out. You know one thing Jesus said? Jesus said this, if you go to somebody and they don't accept it, go on. Oh, my, 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 not the church world today. We'll stop and camp there for 400 years. Because you know why? Because we try to save people. We pray and ask God to do it, but we have very little faith in God. We're always trying to get people saved. I don't get people saved. Ain't my job. My job is not to get you to believe with the Word of God. My job is to preach it. It's up between you and God whether you believe it. It ain't my job to try to get you to believe it. That's not my job. Number one, I ain't that big. I ain't got that kind of power. I am anointed to preach. I am not anointed to make you believe it. God draws you. It's between you and Him to whether or not you believe. It's between you and Him. It isn't between me and you. If you don't believe, you know what I do? I just go on. I preach to somebody else. It don't matter. Oh, when I got free, I was a young Christian when I got free of that. Because I was sitting in a place teaching adult Sunday school class. And I'll tell you what, they were a spirit-filled church. I wasn't quite sure what spirit they were filled with. But there was a lot of these older people, and boy, they just, I didn't realize, you know, I thought, well, you teach the adult Sunday school class, you'd get people to know a little something. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they were full of their religious beliefs, and when you talk the Bible, they'd get mad at you. And I was struggling because I could get, man, I tell you, I'd get all fired up and get a lesson together. And I'd tell you what, I'd be just ready to teach this thing. And I'd get up in front of them and I'll tell you what, it's like throwing a ball back there and bouncing off the wall and come back and hit you in the face. That's what was going on. It was a lot of fun. And I'm going back and forth with this. And you know what? God sent a guy to help Ed. God sent a guy from down in Texas who was a prophet. And he called me out in a meeting. And he called me out, and I tell you, I needed to hear it at the time. And he said this. Now, he knew me from nobody. We had never met or talked. And he said, you're a teacher sent from God. And he said, I see the sails on the ship of the colors of the nations that you'll go to. I've been to some of them. But anyhow, he turned around and talked about it. But he said this. He said, I see you. And he said, you have a loaf of bread. And he said, you tear off pieces and you throw it to people and you give it to them, you hand it out. And he said, they complain it's too hard, it's too dry, too many seeds, too this and that. And he said, don't you worry about none of that. He said, they throw it back at you. Just take it and give it to the people that want it. Boy, in that day it set me free. I went in front of those people and I preached and I didn't give a rip if they liked it, wanted to hear it or not. I didn't care no more. And I tell you, I could tell that somebody is drawing. I don't care if one person would draw, I'd preach to them. And I just, one person drawing, it don't matter to me. You know what? I don't need a crowd to keep happy. I'm just happy to find one person that likes God. I don't need 10,000 to get an anointing. All these boys that need crowds to get anointed, it's because he ain't anointed. It's them. If you can't get as much anointed speaking at one, Jesus had just as many great miracles take place talking to one as he did the crowd. I'll tell you what, somebody draws on it, it's hard to shut me up. You just want to give it to them and give it to them and give it to them and give it to them. Why? I'll tell you, it's become the day has come that it, I'll tell you, you find, I mean, you guys are extraordinary. Most people don't want to take time to hear. And especially if you say something contrary and they believe. I'm going to tell you, they get ugly quick today. You can tell. They put the brakes on immediately. And they put both brakes on the pedal. And they're like those old power brakes. When you hit them, remember how it locked the wheels up instantly? You didn't have that gradual that we got now, these assists. No, the old power brakes, you touched them and all four wheels locked like that. They use them all the time. You'd go to church and it had pedals on the pew in front. They could jump on them. Hallelujah! Praise God. We always want to stay hungry for the Word. But you know what Jesus said to pray? He told all the disciples to pray, but he took 12, his 12, out of all of his disciples, and he sent them out. But look, and Luke 10 tells us this. Luke 10 in verse 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Sent them two by two. So he sent them out. He said, every city, a place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray for the Lord of harvest to send laborers out into the harvest. So he told them there that there needed to be laborers sent out into the harvest. So again, praying for laborers. People out going out across their path. The need for that. There needs to be sent laborers to them. People don't get saved on their own. God is waiting. James says, you know, really, the farmer is waiting what? For the precious fruit of the earth. God's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He sees what's going on. He wants to send laborers out in the harvest. And so what does he tell us? See, we're responsible in the earth of what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what we loose. In other words, tell God, okay, loose them, let them out there, get laborers. We need laborers out here. People sent out into this harvest to bring the harvest into. Remember the need of it. Apostle Paul talked about himself. He said, you know, and Apollos. He said, you know, I planted water, and Apollos watered. He said, what God gives the increase. See, number one, you need to know this. Maybe you go out and preach to somebody. Don't worry about if they accept or not right away. Don't worry about none of that stuff. Most people, you know, they did one time a survey thing. I remember this years ago, and I read it. They said the average person had the gospel preached to them 10 times before they came to Christ. The average person heard the gospel preached at least 10 times. So, you know, this idea today is all this quick harvest stuff and things that people have in mind. This is why we had to go to the things is they don't go preach the gospel anymore. They said, hey, if you'll just pray this prayer, you get saved. They don't even preach the gospel to people anymore. You just say this prayer. Well, if the person ain't heard the gospel, they can't pray that in faith. They don't know what to, they're praying by faith. But see, it makes the people feel good like they did something. I'm not supposed to, it's not supposed to change me whether they do or they don't. It shouldn't make me feel big-headed that I did anything. God gives the increase. God's the one who gets them saved. I can't save anybody. Like Brother Hagin used to talk about, you know, God used him powerfully, a healing anointing. But he used to say, I can't heal on that eyeball. I can't do it. He said, God does that. I can't do it. I don't have that. He does it through me, but I can't do it. I don't have it. Well, salvation's the same way. You can't save people. We can preach the gospel. They make the same. Do what they don't. If they call on your name, both of you will end up in hell. They ain't calling on your name to get saved. They're calling on the name of the Lord. That's between them and the Lord. But we have the opportunity to go. Now, look what it says. You know, they're always telling me, go pray in the sinner's prayer. But in Romans 10, verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. But verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of great joy. And see, there we need to see the importance here of praying and asking God to send labor, send people out, somebody across their path that they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel. Oh, man. You know, I don't know. Maybe we ought to just start teaching on thinking what the gospel really is. Because today we have so much stuff that's set out here that is, you know, that it doesn't leave a person in the position where God wants the person to come to their need of salvation. Most people don't need a new salvation. They need a new car. They need a new something else. But that's what they're taught in church. You know, God just wants you to have a nice life and have stuff and everything and everything. That's all good and well. That ain't on the top of the list of nothing. What is it good to do? You know, as a guy who built the bigger barn, said, I'm going to sit back and relax and I'm going to take it easy. I got everything. God says, you know, this day your soul is required of you. Oh, man, I want to be on that, eh? See, yeah, Yeah, you know what this is? I'm just going to sit back and relax. It's not what it's about. Do we want to be laborers in the harvest? See, it's number one, will you allow God? You, now this isn't what we do. We pray for laborers, but we don't want to be one of them. You send somebody else to preach, Lord. Not me, Lord Jesus. No. Tell Mike to tell him. You know what I do in praying? If I'm praying specifically for an individual, I just tell the Lord, Lord, if you want me to go across the faith, you want me to talk to him, you tell me, I'll talk to him. This is a very important thing. You don't want to just pick whom you want to go to. You mess a lot of things up. One of the things is you ask the Lord, you know, to show you in opportunities that you can be a blessing. But sometimes, you know, I pray for an individual. I say, Lord, if you want me to talk to him, you can ask me and I'll talk to them. I'll talk if that's what you want. But I also tell him, I say, Lord, you want to send somebody else. Maybe there's somebody else that they, you know, that you know that they listen to. You know, sometimes people, you know, it's like I found out with my own personal family. They don't pay no attention to Ed. But you know, I don't give a rip. God told me they'll come into the kingdom. Well, I don't give a rip if that Ed didn't do it, you know. All these people that want to be the big gunslinger and have their name attached to it, I tell you, I can't stand them. And God can't either. This ain't getting your name attached to nothing. You know, we're not notching our guns so we can walk around and tell how many people we're just doing. Boy, we're just, man, I'll tell you, I'm really just good at this. That's not what this is about. We're getting people. So I always pray, Lord, you know what would speak to them. You know what they would listen to. Lord, and I tell the Lord, hey, don't ask me to pray for you to send laborers in harvest if I can't talk to it about it. You know, but you need to understand the authority that you have in the earth in doing this. Lord, I tell the Lord, if you get them to turn on a radio and listen to somebody or on television, somebody who's going to speak the truth, somebody would speak to them that they'd be saved. Lord, whatever come across, I just want them to hear the gospel. I want them to hear the gospel preached. That's what I want. I just put myself in position. I'll be willing. If you want me to, I'll be willing. But you want somebody else, you know. I don't have to be no, I'm not a big deal in this game, you know. Sometimes, you know, God will send you along to people. You'll find out they've heard before. And you might be just sent there to do a little watering on that thing. You throw a little water on it and that comes. You know, I often think about the people that over the years that did watering with me. I'm sure, you know, it wasn't pleasant for them because I wasn't pleasant. But what if nobody had to preach because Ed wasn't pleasant? See, the church today won't preach because we don't like any discomfort. And we don't want to make anybody else uncomfortable. I want people to like me. I found out if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. And if you don't want to suffer persecution, just go home to be with Jesus. Quit taking up space here on the earth. Leave. This ain't about us being comfortable. It's about people. It's eternity. It's about people's eternity. I mean, think about that. There's a lake of fire that a large portion of this earth, of the people, are going to spend eternity in it. Eternity in torment. I'm not talking about there's somebody going na 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 to them. We're talking about people are going to be in a place, a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone for eternity. They ain't going to go into it and be burned up and go to nothing. They are going to be tormented. The wrath of God on them for eternity. You know, Ed's wrath don't amount to much. You know, I get mad about something, but the whole thing, God's wrath? I can't imagine God's uncontrolled anger. That's what wrath is. I just can't imagine. You know, all that you read in the book of Revelation is not eternal wrath. That's to come after that. Man, I read that stuff and say it's bad news enough. I mean, dear God. See, there needs to be a change in the church world. There does. There needs to be a change in the church world and how we think. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And, you know, I don't want people to go there. I want people to end up in heaven. Hallelujah. Is number one, God will have nobody stand before him and say, I didn't know. Do you know what's interesting? And I want you to get a hold of this. So the Lord spoke to me specifically about this. He said, I'll send you to people that I know are not going to accept you, me, or have anything to do with me. But he said, they'll never stand in my face and said, nobody told me. You look in the scriptures how many times the prophets went to Israel, time after time after time after time. Do you think God didn't know that Israel wasn't going to respond to Jeremiah? Do you think he didn't know that? Why? But he sends them. See, this is where people get confused. They say, you know, why did God send them? If God knows everything they weren't going to accept, why did he do it? Because God will have nobody standing in his faith saying he was not merciful and he did not give them a chance. Everybody in Jeremiah's day would have to look in the face of God and know who they'd see? Jeremiah. I sent my boy. And you treated him awful. You treated him bad. Look what you did. This is what you did to him. I sent you opportunity and you refused and you refused and you refused and you refused. This is the mercy of God. God knows people that are not going to accept. But yet he will still send us to those people to try to reach them. Amen. Why? So they can't stand in his face and say, nobody told me. You're going to go to people who aren't going to want to hear what you have to hear. And see what Christians get through and think, well, you know, I must have messed up. I didn't hear God. Yes, you did. God has sent me to people that I knew. I knew before I went, but I knew he wanted them to hear. And I went and told them, God loves them. God's talking to you. They didn't want to hear. But God will send people to go talk to them. And they're going to stand in his face one day. And they're going to know who has come to them and who talked to them. You see, everybody in hell is going to have a resurrection. According to scripture. And they're going to stand before the white throne judgment of God. And they're going to be judged according to what they did in their bodies while they were in this earth. And all their whole story is going to be brought before them. The times that they've heard the gospel that they rejected. How sad. Can you imagine how sad that is? Imagine how sad that is. I heard the truth and turned it away. And now I can't respond to it. It's too late. I turned it down. It can't be changed. That's horrible. That's horrible to think about. You think about people who ended up in hell, or who left this earth and ended up in hell. I'm going to tell you what, our Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg, I'm going to tell you what. I will guarantee you she wouldn't today, if you ask her, she wanted to pass laws that would remove the name of Jesus and God out of our government like she pushed at one time. Because I'll tell you what, the day that she died, she went down and down into a darkness. And she went down till she met a being that took her by the arm. And she saw the gates of hell and she was led into it and couldn't stop. She didn't want to go there, but he took her there. And she knew why she was going. She knew when she went in. Does she believe there's a God today? Sure enough. Does she believe that message is true? Sure enough. Just like the rich man in the Bible. Don't send somebody back. Tell my brother. Tell these other people. This stuff is really true. They've been preaching to us. This is really true. We didn't believe it, but it's true. She knows it's true today. She's eternally damned. But God had given her escape. But she chose damnation. The Savior is Jesus. Hallelujah. God sent a Jew to save the Gentiles. I'll tell you what. God will just do stuff to just, I think, just... Hallelujah. Glory to God. But see, we have our part, and I just encourage you to start to take your part. I've learned this years ago. Many times people are trying to go through all these different things, try to get people saved and stuff. Is number one, start off in line with the Word. The reason many people don't hear the Holy Spirit, because they're trying to do things in their own ideas and their own ways. The Holy Spirit, I learned this about Him. I learned this over time about Him. Experiences I had with the Holy Spirit specifically. And the reason I realized that these experiences I had is so I could teach certain things. There's certain things you did, certain things you learn and know. See, the Holy Spirit, and really, you got to learn to cooperate. The Holy Spirit moves with the Word. Jesus is the Word. To go against the Word is to go against Jesus Christ Himself. See, the Holy Spirit, He exalts Jesus, not you. He exalts Jesus Christ. He magnifies Jesus. That's His job. He loves Jesus. The Holy Ghost. I mean, just think about it. Jesus said, you know, you say anything against Me, He said, I'll forgive you. But He said, you speak against Me, He said, the Holy Ghost won't. There's a love there. There's a union about the Holy Ghost and Jesus that the wimpy, whiny church today ain't got a clue about. We're like little second graders running around playing Christianity. And we need to come into this place to realize it's time for adult Sunday school. It's time for adult Sunday school to understand these things. Because when you honor the Word of God, you honor Jesus Christ Himself. And I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost will show up. If you're honoring Jesus in your manner, your way, you honor Him according to the Word. You exalt His Word. It's one of these, when I go to the Lord and I pray, I always exalt Him and His Word. I always go before it and say, Jesus, You said such and such, and it's impossible for You to lie. Your Word stands. No matter what happens to me or what goes on, Your Word's always right. Your Word is the right. Your Word, You're always right. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is one of my best cheerleaders. He loves to hear that. He loves to hear people exalt Jesus Christ. And see, Jesus has been removed from the head of the church. And He's just somebody on the sideline. And the Word of God can be changed today. It don't matter. And then we want the Holy Ghost to move. And we say, well, why don't we have a move of the Spirit? It's because the Spirit always moves in line with the Word. And they went out and preached everywhere with signs following. What? The preaching of the Word. You got it. See, the Word. The Word goes, why? It exalts Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Holy Spirit will begin to move. See, as when you begin to pray, you pray for the lost. Simply taking these things that I was taught. They're not complicated. It's not hard to do. You know, you can pray this in a couple minutes for an individual. But you have just established something on the Word. And if you operate in faith, you operate in faith in that. I will guarantee you, it's like the Lord said to me, told me this. He said, if you do what I say in the Word, I will guarantee you. He said, I will begin to do what you ask me to do. I will do it. I will begin to do it. Listen, familiar scriptures. Familiar scripture. Hallelujah. Let's, lost my place there. There it went. It disappeared on me. We'll get it back. I assure you. Hallelujah. 1 John, the 5th chapter. One of my favorite scriptures. When all these people tell me that, you know, well, you know, God don't always heal. He don't always do this. He don't always do that. 1 John 5th chapter, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, what's His will? His will is His Word. That's His will. What does it say? I'm supposed to have this confidence. When I come to God and I pray and I'm asking anything according to His will, anything He says in His will, He says, He hears us. See, you need to know that God has heard you. One of the most things it is people have a hard time about prayer is most people will pray but don't really know if God's hearing them or not. That's a failure. Don't ever have that failure. If you're asking according to the Word, you're supposed to have this confidence. When I said God's Word, God's listening. See, God has to listen. The Word's His Son. Is He going to turn His Son down? Is He going to turn Jesus, the Redeemer, down? Is He going to turn the head of the church down? Say, well, okay, we're not going to do Your Word today. That's a confidence. Then He says, and if we know that He heard us, Woo! Whatever we ask, if we know that He heard us, whatever we ask was according to His will. He said, what? We know that we have the petition we have asked of Him. He said, we have it. He didn't say you're going to get it. He said, you have it. It's yours when you ask. Hallelujah. That's Mark 11:24. Whatever thing you desire and you pray, believe you receive it, you'll have it. John just preached Mark 11:24. Hallelujah. So when we're talking here in this instant, we're talking about praying for someone who's lost. This is why we do what these things say in the Word. We're guaranteed God's going to move on that individual. You can go from away there doing a little jig and a dance, knowing that God is responding to what you prayed. God will carry it out. God will carry it out. It's yours. Hallelujah. You just stood on the Word, and that's why we need to come back to the Word. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him, he said about he was praying, he had this one uncle, and he found that this uncle had cancer, and he saw him, and the guy looked terrible, and he said, oh Lord, he said, save so-and-so, and he mentioned his name, and the Lord said that, he said, what do you think I'm trying to do? And this is when he got a revelation. He started getting a revelation of some of these things. God gave him a revelation. See, his uncle didn't come to salvation, although he had prayed for his uncle a number of times. God wasn't moving. It wasn't until he came in line with the Word, and within a short period of time, his uncle got saved. All the praying, he wasted his time. There has been so much time wasted praying for people's salvation. It has been wasted because it ain't been in line with the Word. We haven't been operating in faith. We don't know if God's going to do it, not going to do it. We don't know. We ask God, God save so-and-so. Jesus died to save them all. What are we asking God to save? You going to send Jesus back to the cross? We don't have to say, Jesus did His work and He says to us, now, you want to make this thing work? Here's your part. You know what? And our part ain't something big. It ain't complicated. We could teach third graders to do this. Just harder to the church. Third graders will get it quick and teach the second graders and they'll just go ahead. And the church will sit around and go... people are always looking for some complicated thing. This is not complicated. You need to come to the place to realize when you step out and believe the Word, you step into a place of authority. And see, this is hard for us because see, we've been... God's in control. Who's He going to let you do this? Or you? Here's what people say to me. Do you think you can just push God around? I'm not trying to push God around. Well, you're trying to tell Him what He's going to do. No, He said what He was going to do. I'm just agreeing with Him. And those knuckleheads act like they're spiritual. They ain't nothing but a bunch of big babies. They don't know nothing about spirituality. You know how much God loves it when a saint stands up before Him. And it ain't a saint because there's some perfect, wonderful thing. There's just somebody who's born again and knows it. Amen. And stands up and says, God, I'm going to believe you. Your Word says this and you'll do that for me. My words, I bet God gets off His throne and does a little jig around it. He's just so happy to find somebody that actually even believed it. I think He just gets turned on by it. I've had God specifically get excited about things that I prayed already. Talk to me about it. And I think, dear Lord, don't take much to make Him happy. It is such a problem. Think of what it is when a human being in this earth accepts Jesus Christ and then takes something of the Word and stands on it so God can bring it to pass in this earth. That is so pleasing to Him. That's what He loves to do. He absolutely loves to fulfill His Word for people. He absolutely loves it. There's nothing that pleases Him more. When His Son came into the earth and did what He did, and we want to cheer Jesus, but I'm going to tell you what, through your faith in Jesus Christ, when you walk by faith in this Word and bring that Word to pass in this earth, He's excited just as much about you as Jesus Christ Himself. He's excited about it. He gets an opportunity. God is a blesser of humanity. His main thing is to bless humanity. That's what He wants to do. It's on the top of His list. We're not trying to ask Him to give us something or do something for us that He wouldn't want to do. My words, He is wanting to bless us more than we could possibly understand or know. Just think about eternity. All the things He said, the Scripture says that He has planned for us that we don't even know about yet. for in the ages to come. It's like, he's planning, it ain't, the book ain't filled with enough goodies. He said, I got more than this. I just want to bless you guys. Wait till you get over here with me and see how good it is and what I got for you. God's a blesser. That's why he said, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come, you have life. God's just in the life-giving business. He's a blesser. That's what he is. Hallelujah. So you ain't moving into an area. You ain't stretching him by no means. You ain't pushing him in an uncomfortable position. Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. God the blesser. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, you're absolutely incredible. You're absolutely phenomenal. Lord God, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate your goodness and mercy to humanity. Lord God, you have put up with a lot from us. And you just keep coming and pulling us along. Lord, you're incredible. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just thank you so much for it. I thank you, Lord God. Father, your love that you gave to us through Jesus Christ is so phenomenal. And Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. You know, you have expanded our minds some, but Lord God, Lord, it almost seems like a fairy tale. Lord God, from the natural, Lord God, these things many times are hard to grasp, but our hearts know it's true. Our hearts know. Our hearts desire to stretch out to it. Our hearts reach out today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, Lord, and it's from our hearts that you respond, not from our heads. Hallelujah. Thank God. But from our hearts. And today, Lord God, I want to thank you. You're filling us, Lord God. You're filling us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord God, you're giving us, Lord God, the ability to see and understand. The gift of seeing and knowing, Lord God, in these days and these times will come into a full manifestation, Lord God, that we will come into understanding, Lord, beyond the understanding of natural human wisdom and reasoning. But Lord God, we will see and know heavenly wisdom that we will reach out to and walk in, Lord God, that will bring blessing to this earth beyond measure. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to see out into things at times. Hallelujah. And Lord, Tom, Lord, sometimes they're hard to explain and know. But Lord God, the glory is just there. Lord God, I can touch it. I can see that glory for this day and time that will explode onto this earth. Lord, I can see and know that fire that will fall upon men in this day and in this hour, in shortness to come. Lord God, that will raise up a people like have never been seen before on the face of this earth. Lord God, there's a shaking and a quaking going on, and it's a good one. It's for good reason that all, Lord God, that has not been established by you and your word, that it will not stand. Lord God, the things that people have grasped to, Lord God, it will fail. Lord God, the things in our government, there's things that will fail in the name of Jesus because it's tied to the wisdom and knowledge of men and men's lusts. And those things will fall in the name of Jesus. But Lord God, those who have stood upon the word is and done the word, not just stood, not just said the word, but the ones who have done the word, Lord God, they will stand in this day and this hour, and the storms of this life that are on the scene and will rise up more and more will not move them. Hallelujah. For they have been built upon a rock. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, there's a church that is built upon the rock. Hallelujah. That stands, that walks in the glory, that does the will of God, and that people are rising up in this hour, ringing out with a voice that will be heard around the world. Hallelujah. Lord, that men will hear, and Satan, you're bound in the name of Jesus. You will not be able to blind men in this last day and hour, but people will hear the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will know and hear that voice ring out. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you, sending laborers into the harvest, because you're willing that none should perish and all should come to repentance, Lord God. And so we thank you that you're bringing them in. You're drawing them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, Father, I want to thank you for hordes and hordes and hordes of people, Lord, coming into Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, Lord, that the churches will be overwhelmed. Hallelujah. And what a wonderful overwhelming it will be. Hallelujah. Before us, it will be out of the hands of man, but in the hands of God. Hallelujah. And we thank you. Father God, I pray, send labor. Send us out. Hallelujah. We desire your anointing and your power on us to carry your glory and your wonderful, gracious words to people. Hallelujah. For the glory of God to be revealed, that Jesus Christ may be glorified in this last day and hour. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. How good you have been to us. Hallelujah. And how good you will continue. Ha ha. Brekotina katesheto feto, mambrato me menegida, brashta varunda barakanunegele atosha de geshieta. Ha ha. Guna mamakiato, nigalala godeshe de beberete yepa. Ha ha ha. For hold on. Hold on to yourself. For you will be shaken in great surprise of my glory that will come. Hallelujah. And your eyes will open. You'll say, I never expected it to be so glorious and in this manner, but yet it shall be in this last days and hours. Hallelujah. And yes, yes, my hand will be upon you, and you shall walk out in these hours and step into places that you would have only dreamed to see. And it shall see in this glory of this last day as it is a dream, for you will be caught in a place between heaven and earth. You will be caught in a place, hallelujah, that is looking toward eternity. Yes, and many will jump in with you. Hallelujah. And when I return, oh, what a glorious church it shall be. What a glory shall be in the earth. Oh, and there'll be a great shout of joy. Hallelujah. And the dead will rise in glory. And those who are here, those walking in the earth, will be caught up together with them. And what a glory it shall be. Hallelujah. 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 I could see it. I could see that. You know, it's Randy Greer said, it made this mention a few years ago, and said about the Lord showed him that people in the last days in the church would be caught over in the glory. He said, for sometimes weeks on end before Jesus comes. And that's what I just saw. I saw that. I saw it not just as like a few people. I saw that many and most of the church would be caught in this place. Almost, it'll seem to us that we're not in heaven, but we're not here either. We'll seem sort of as to us. We're between it. Hallelujah. There's a glory that's going to rest on this earth that's going to be so glorious. Hallelujah. It's not going to be able to explain or be known or walked in the natural. Hallelujah. It will only be able in the supernatural, in the spirit, it'll be walked in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Father, you have such great plans. Lord, it's hard for the mind to grasp it. It's for the mind to understand it. Yeah, Lord, you can't explain what it really is. I saw it, but I don't, there's not words that can really say it. yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we will all get to experience it. We will get to experience it and walk in it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Lord God, I'm excited. Lord, I don't know what others have said about this year, but Lord God, I just know where we have walked from as a church to where we are. We have come to the place that we should be. We have come to the place we should be. Lord, there's nothing more wonderful to me to know that we're in your will, that we're in your plan. Lord God, hallelujah. Oh, yes, and it will be well with us, Lord. Yeah, yeah, it will be well with us. Hallelujah. And we will fulfill the plan of God. We will do His will. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a future walking in the will of God. What a future. Hallelujah. Oh, my. What an army. What an army of people. Hallelujah. That will not be moved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My. Shoo-hee. Well, praise God. I'll tell you, I think we started off the new year, right? Hallelujah. I just can't wait to see how it's going to end up. It's going to be one that's going to get gooder. Hallelujah. Gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen. The Lord bless you and have a glorious, glorious week.